Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we continue in our new teaching series called The Great I Am. Now, we will not be taking phone calls on today's broadcast, but if you need answers for the challenges of everyday life or there's a Bible passage you can't quite understand, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We always love hearing from you, our listeners, so don't ever hesitate. Call that number, 844-322-2742, when you have a question. But right now, it's Lesson 2 of The Great I Am, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we dive in, I want to let our listeners know that we have some teaching notes that you can download on our website, basicgospel.net/teaching/teaching, and there's going to be a little box that you'll fill out, and you can download these notes. And I think it would be important for you to do so, to follow along as we move through the various passages that we're going to look at today. Mm-hmm. Now, to get started, the title is The Great I Am. We know that's God's name. We looked at that passage in Exodus chapter 3 last week. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick look at that again. But when we're talking about the Great I Am, we're talking about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He claimed to be the Great I Am. He claimed to bear the same name that God the Father bears. Now, that means something to us because in and of himself, he has what it takes to save us. In and of himself, he has what we need. He doesn't have to go outside of himself. He doesn't have to look to external sources. He has everything he needs within himself already to meet our needs.
Yeah.
That's the good news. So who is the Great I Am? The Great I Am is God the Father. The Great I Am is Jesus Christ the Son. So let's go back and just cover some ground that we covered last week, Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15. Then Moses said to God. So we have this epic story, this mega narrative of the people of Israel. They've, you know, had their beginning through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and there were some incredible stories that moved them down into Egypt to actually save their lives. 400 years pass, and the next thing we know, there's this guy named Moses tending his flocks out by Mount Horeb, and then there's a bush, and this bush begins to burn.
Yeah.
And so you have this mega story, and it focuses down to this one little event right here. And it's not a little event. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's gargantuan as far as the story of God and the story of man is concerned. So God has come down. He has heard the cries of his people. He knows their afflictions. He understands their sufferings. And he has come down to do something on their behalf. That is significant. God isn't just somebody that's up in heaven and you know, tends to other parts of the universe, and very seldom does he ever look our way. No, in this story, we realize that God is always with us. He's always just there anytime we need. And so he's heard the cries of his people. He's come down. He's picked Moses to be the guy to lead them out of Egypt to the promised land. And Moses is objecting to that, and here we are in this conversation. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So we use the word God. It's a very generic word.
Yes.
The Hebrews had a generic word for God as well, Elohim. That was generic. And he says, the God of your fathers, that's Elohim. But he goes on to say, I want to know some specifics. I want to know how the God of our fathers is distinct from all the other gods that these foreign countries believe in. And so God said to Moses, I am who I am. There's God's name. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is a statement about God's existence. He is who he was. He is who he is. He is who he will be. That he is complete in and of himself.
Yeah.
There's nothing to add to God. There's nothing that he needs to be added to him. There's nothing that needs to be subtracted from him. He just is who he is. And a part of that character is that he's interested in those whom he's created. Mm-hmm. And when he hears their cries, he acts on their behalf. Yeah. That's God. That's who he is. And he says, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So every generation of Jewish people knew the name of God. And it was a holy name, a sacred name, a name that they did not utter with their lips.
Yeah.
It's called the Great Tetragrammaton. It's the name never to be spoken. But every generation knew what that name was.
Right.
They knew the great I am. So it's interesting as we fast forward to the New Testament that this is how we leave this particular section, that this is the name that is to be remembered throughout all generations.
Yes.
All right. So some maybe 1,000 years later, 1,500 years later, in the story, that generation of Israelites, of Jewish people, they're going to know what this verse is all about. They're going to remember the name of God.
Yes. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we're in session two of The Great I Am. This particular topic, Jesus' name, and I think it's a name worth remembering, don't you?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well, friends, at Basic Gospel, we believe that God put us in place to deliver his message of love, grace, and life in Christ Jesus to everyone who hears, who has ears to hear, and he blesses this outreach through your generosity, the generosity of you, our listeners, for whom we are greatly, greatly, deeply grateful. So, friends, if you haven't yet joined with us, we invite you to come alongside us and become a partner. Help us keep the good news coming. Now, you can donate now or anytime at our website, basicgospel.net. And speaking of this good news, we're off to a great start in this second lesson of this new series, The Great I Am. And here to keep us going is Bob Christopher again.
So we're going to move forward to John chapter 8. So every generation of Jewish people is going to remember the name of God.
Yeah.
They are going to remember exactly what God said to Moses. I am who I am. I am has sent me to you. They're going to know that name. So Jesus is having a conversation with Pharisees, with Jewish leaders, mm-hmm. people who would certainly remember the name of God and know the name of God. That's what makes this conversation so curious for them. That's what makes it so impactful and profound for all of us. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? This is verse 53. And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Just who do you think you are, Jesus? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. So he's speaking to religious leaders who understand the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the wisdom writings. They've read it and they're reading it year in and year out. They know what it says and they're looking for a Messiah. And yet Jesus says they don't know God the Father. They really don't know who he is. But you have not known him. I know him. Jesus knew the Father. If I were to say to you that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do not know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Mm. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So they were well aware of God's name. And when Jesus claimed that name as his very own, this outraged the Pharisees so much so they bent down, picked up stones to throw at him. Now, this wasn't just an act of anger. This was an act of religious obedience to the law. In Leviticus chapter 24, the law said anyone who blasphemes should be stoned by the entire community. Well, they believed and had judged in that moment that Jesus had blasphemed the name of God. So what did they do? In their religious zeal, in their desire to obey the Mosaic covenant, they picked up stones just as the Mosaic covenant told them to do. They were following the law. Why? Because they believed Jesus, in claiming the same name for himself that was God the Father's, was blaspheming.
Yeah.
So we have to realize they remembered the name of God. They've remembered this name for some 1,500 years. And here when Jesus uses it and says, this is who I am, I'm the preexistent one, I'm the one that will never change, I'm the one that has everything in himself to meet every need of mankind. When he says this, they simply pick up stones to stone him. So the Pharisees questioned Jesus' authority and identity, but he went on and say, hey, I'm not just a prophet. I'm not just a great teacher. I and the Father are one.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to realize. This God that revealed himself to Moses is now being revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, why is this important to us? If we'll recall last week, we talked about the fact that God showed up on the scene because he had heard the cries of the people, he saw their afflictions, and he understood their sufferings, and he had come down to set them free and deliver them to a new place. That was the plan of God, and he was going to execute that plan through the leadership of Moses. So that's what I am, who I am, does. Well, what does this Jesus, who claims the same name, who says to those around him back in the day that I'm that same God, that I have in me everything that you need, what does that mean to us here and now?
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's important for us to take a look at the context of this conversation in which Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And we're going to go back to verse 23 of John chapter 8. Here's the context of this particular conversation. He said to them, and again, he's speaking to these religious leaders, you are from below, I am from above. So he's saying, we've come from two different places. You are of this world. I am not of this world. So what would you say of God the Father? He is not of this world, but he came down into this world to do something for the people of Israel. In the same way, Jesus is not of this world, but he came down into the world to do something for his people. And here is what he says, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? So Jesus has already made the declaration that he is I am, that he is always present, and that within himself is everything that we need for our problems. He has everything that we need to be set free from sin and death, to be made alive together with Christ Jesus, to experience a new realm of existence in Him. He has come down to do something that we could not do for ourselves. Yeah. So unless we believe that Jesus Christ is the I Am, that He and the Father are one, we're still going to die in our sins. It's really clear, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no gray area. You either look to Jesus for salvation or you're not going to find it anywhere else. Why? Because Jesus, as the I Am, has everything already contained within Him to do on our behalf what we can't do for ourselves.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Jesus' name. It's the second session of our new series called The Great I Am, and what a wonderful series it has been so far. And friends, I want to remind you also that when you give to support Basic Gospel, you not only are helping to keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the air, you're helping to see this message reach new listeners who need to hear of His love, grace, and life, just like you have. We ask you to partner with us here at Basic Gospels to help take this message far and wide as possible. This news is too good to keep to ourselves, so we must have your support to get the word out. Please join with us with your gift today, your gift of love, at BasicGospel.net. Again, BasicGospel.net, and you can donate now or anytime at BasicGospel.net. Now back to our study, and here again is Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So Jesus Christ is I Am. He has the power to save us. He has the love within Himself that moves Him to act on our behalf. He is all that we need. And when we understand He is that great I Am, then we can turn to Him and be set free just as He desires for us to do. And that's where we're going to pick up in verse 31 of John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, My learners, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, what is the truth? That Jesus is the I Am. Yeah. And that He has the power to set us free, and He has the will to set us free, and the desire to set us free. They answered Him, "Now we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. So why are you talking about freedom to us? Why are you talking about slavery to us? Look at us. We're already free. We don't need you, Jesus. So how is it that you say you will become free?" Now Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." So it could read, everyone is a slave to sin. We all practice sin. That was our way of life. As Paul put it in Ephesians 2, we were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what led us. Sin was our master. And as hard as we tried to produce something different, sin had the final word.
Yes.
When we were lost and dead in sin. So we needed to be set free. We did not have the power to free ourselves, but there's one greater that came down from above that does have the power and the desire and the willingness to set us free. So Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
Indeed.
So what is the reward for believing that Jesus is the I Am? Well, freedom. Not freedom that we've earned, not freedom that we fought for and won, but freedom that He gives by His power, His mercy, His grace. What does it mean for you to believe that Jesus is the great I Am? It means you are going to be set free from sin and death by the power of His life, and you're going to experience freedom.
Yeah.
That is good news. So Jesus claimed that he was from above. He made it clear to the Pharisees that salvation is tied to Jesus. Unless they believed that he was the I Am, they were going to die in their sins. Unless we believe that Jesus is the I Am, we're going to die in our sins. So what is Jesus really doing in this conversation with the Pharisees? He's making the case for that great passage in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. It's not a work. It's a free gift, yes, lest anyone should boast. So what is faith? Well, faith has this element in it that we must believe that God exists. We must believe that he is the great I Am, that he has everything within himself to solve our problem, to enable us to cross over from death to life, to be set free from the power of sin and death. We must believe that he exists. What does the name I Am mean? It means that God exists, and he's always existed as who he is.
Right.
He's never added to himself. He's never taken away from himself. He's just always been who he is. Jesus Christ is that same God. That's our God. He is our God. And so when we believe that he exists, then we're turned to him by faith and receive the reward of eternal life. We'll receive the reward of freedom from sin and death. We will receive the reward of a new life that is walked down a path of freedom. Mm-hmm. That's what this is all about. So Jesus is showing us the story of by grace through faith in him.
Yeah.
God heard our cry. We were lost, dead in sin. He loved us so much. He sent Jesus into this world. He and the Father are one. Just as God is the great I Am, so too Jesus is the great I Am. And contained within him is freedom, freedom for you and me. So let me ask a couple of questions as we close today's broadcast. According to Jesus, is there any path to salvation other than through I Am? And absolutely not. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. In what ways does this conversation underscore the essence of faith in Hebrews 11:6? I want you, after this broadcast, to read through John chapter 8, and then I want you to read Hebrews 11:6, and I want you to make a connection. I want you to see that in Jesus claiming to be the I Am, he is giving you the foundation for belief that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
Yeah.
And then the third and final question is this: have you been set free from sin and death by the great I Am? Have you recognized your need and that in Jesus he has everything within himself to save you and to set you free?
Yes.
If not, will you let today be the day that the great I Am saves you and sets you free once and for all?
That's good stuff, Bob. Thank you. You know, it's good to consider our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also great to understand the fullness of what identity means and the great I Am. And friends, we're glad you've joined us for this lesson two of the series. If you have questions that you'd like us to address, just drop us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Well, until Monday at the same time, for Bob Christopher and the team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.